are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Everyone, welcome to Coffee with Kim. My name is Kim Crable, and I'm delighted to have you join us today. Can I just tell you, I've spent hours literally trying to, in my mind as I worked through the last week, trying to decide how to open and welcome and introduce you to our guest today. I don't know how it's best, but I'll ask you a question. Have you ever just felt like you needed God's hope so badly, and you didn't know where to find it, and it just showed up in human form? Well, that's exactly the way I feel about our speaker. And oh my gosh, I'm having to fight back tears already. This woman came into my life 20-some years ago, and it was at a time when I was desperate to see Jesus. Oh, I was polished and looked pretty good on the outside. We all know what that can be, but boy, I was one broken mess on the inside. And I desperately wanted to know that I could be okay because Jesus had told me I could be okay, but I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know where to go. And I remember just praying desperately, God, show me hope. Show me that what you're saying is true. And it was at a retreat. It was a conference that, yes, I had organized. I was leading a large women's ministry, and I had this speaker who was coming in, and her name was Carmen Pate. Carmen Pate, the incredible Carmen Pate, beautiful, polished, very well professionalized in her TV and radio, president of the Concerned Women of America. Yes, she was all that. And I remember as she strolled across the stage that morning, I looked at her and I went, oh no, not another perfect one. I really did. I mean, she was just so perfect in everything about her. And while I admired her and loved everything that I saw on paper, I looked and I thought, there's another one. I can never achieve to be like this woman. I just need somebody who's real that can give me God's hope. And then Carmen spoke. Oh, my. It was probably be best described as Paul described himself in Philippians 3:7-8, when he said, but whatever is my profit, and Carmen had lots of profit, lots of gain, just like Paul, and say, I now consider all that for loss for the sake of Christ, which is more, whatever is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of just knowing Christ Jesus. And then this perfect one, who I assume to be so perfect, began to share her life. And she didn't present herself as perfect or needing to be on a pedestal. She shared her love for a perfect God and how He can take broken lives and do beautiful things with them. And that was the beginning of my hope. And I remember looking at her thinking, I want to be just like her. And that is what I have been striving to do for many years because she too, as Paul, will say, follow me as I follow Christ. So it was with great pleasure and great humility that I bring on to introduce to you my first and foremost and forever mentor is Carmen Pate. Good morning, Carmen. It's so good.
Oh, my goodness, Kim. I had to pick up the Kleenex myself. Bless your heart. That is so, so precious. I just can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here. And as I have followed you over the years, Kim, to see how you have just opened your heart to allow the Lord to do whatever he saw best in your life using your many, many gifts and talents. And look what he has done. Look what he has accomplished as you are now reaching women around the world through books and radio and television. And I rejoice literally every day for you, Kim, and thank God for his goodness in our lives. So thank you for this wonderful, warm welcome.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I mean it from the depths of my heart, Carmen, because God really did, you did show up at a time when I needed hope. And I believe that that's what this next hour is going to be, because I believe we all still need that hope in the midst of whatever circumstance we're going through. And that, I know, is your desire to spread hope. And, you know, I didn't even really take the time to properly introduce you and all that you do. Gosh, you've been on the Prince.
It's not necessary.
Well, you've just done so much, and people, I think I've spread it all over, but just your accomplishments are amazing. But your love for God and to walk in his obedience is what really touched my heart. And so let's go back.
Thank you.
Carmen, let's just talk. I know that our show title today is In Our Weakness, God is Strong. And I've seen that in your life, that strength in you. And I saw it as that professional woman. I saw that with you taking your stand for Christian women in America. I saw that as you take your stand in helping with defend the unborn child while also ministering to women who've been affected by abortion. I mean, you get into the real situations, and I've seen you fight the good fight of faith. But then, Carmen, something happened a few years ago where you had to start fighting for your own self. Your life took a different turn. Would you share that with our audience this morning?
Absolutely, I will. You know, the Lord told us in John 16:33, I believe it is, he says, I've told you all this, and he had just told his disciples that what he was about to go through, his death, about how they would scatter, about the persecution that would come. He said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Well, I so needed that verse, Kim, because I was diagnosed with, I was diagnosed with melanoma back in 2010, but then in 2015, I was diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia. That change progressed to acute lymphoblastic leukemia in 2016. I had a transplant, a bone marrow transplant, in 2017. And, Kim, I relapsed in 2018 and almost went home to be with the Lord at that time. It was a trial like we had never been through before, and I say we because when you go through cancer, your spouse goes through it as well. And it was in that trial that my husband and I were tested beyond what we had ever been tested. But you know, Kim, God is faithful. God is faithful. And as I share with so many, it is during those most difficult days that we realize how strong he is, how he can pick us up in those weakest moments and accomplish through us things that we could never accomplish in our own flesh when we were healthy. So it was, the most difficult time. However, I have to say, in all honesty, one of the most beautiful seasons of our lives, Kim.
Well, Carmen, that gives, I know, so many people so much hope. But you also write something here that I really want to dig into. You say, because this is a totally different slant. It's really funny because I had written that same scripture here, John 16:33. It is a promise that we're going to have trials and tribulations. But your look, your slant, and this is one of the things that I love so much about you is the way you take the scripture and make it, I believe, the way Jesus intended it to be. You say, my trials are not really about me, but about how God wants to use me to help others, to bring him glory as he touches others. Wow, that sounds like, tell me, what does that look like? Tell our listeners, my trials are not really about me, but about how God wants to use them so that I can help others. And this is what I saw you doing in the hospital. So unpack that a little bit for our listeners and for me.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I learned many years ago, Kim, to really grasp the idea that this is not our home. If we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that our eternal home is with Him. He's the only one who knows when that will be, when we go home to Him. But in the time that we have left here, we are simply here as His representatives. Anything that happens to us in this life on earth has been filtered through His loving and perfect hands. And so we can trust that whatever happens, it truly is not about me. It is about His purposes, Kim. It's about what He is trying to accomplish here on earth. We are His children. And He is saying, you know, there are others out there, Carmen, that I need to bring into this fold. And it's not about necessarily what you say. It is the life you live that makes me real in their life. Because, you know, we can't see Christ, but He lives in us, He lives through us, and He says, I want the world to see me as I really am, as I really am. Because, you know, Kim, he's gotten a bad reputation here on earth in this society that we live in. And it is up to us to rescue Him, to rescue His reputation. And we can only do that by fulfilling His purposes. So when we recognize that, when we recognize, okay, I'm here now, but I'm not here forever. This isn't my home. I'm passing through. There will be trials and troubles because that is a promise from God. There will be trials and troubles. So then I need to look around me. And I need to open my eyes to hurting people. I need to see who needs an encouraging word, who needs a prayer, who needs to know the truth of who Jesus Christ is and His love for them. It gives you, I think I get excited, and I truly do. And when a trial comes,
I do.
When a trial comes, Kim, when a trial comes, I'm like, oh, Lord, this is so exciting. I have another adventure. Please help others to see Jesus in me through this. I don't want, you know, I don't want them focusing on me or what I'm doing because I'm not doing anything apart from Him. So it truly can become an adventure. But you
two
Kim,
things there, Carmen.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please.
I was going to say that makes me think of two things I want to settle in on. First, what you said is what gave me hope, is when I saw you walking across that to take your place, just to speak that day, with mere eyes, I was like, oh, she's beautiful, she's polished, she's got to be perfect. But what you represented, you began to share your some of your past, where you had failed God. I mean, knew how God was using you in such a great way. And I don't know if you recall, but that auditorium, there was such a hush. And I felt like all of us were just, the walls were breaking down. And you were reaching our hearts. You were reaching broken hearts because you were showing to us a Jesus who loved and would rescue broken people. And that has stayed in the forefront because when you were speaking, you were not speaking to create many me's, many Carmens, many do-it-like-me's.
No.
You know, you were speaking to create and tell each and every one of us, go be the best that God has called you to be. There's something in you that's great. And that compelled us, and that's what I know that our listeners have already heard this morning. The second thing that I want us to talk about even more is something that I talk about so much that I think is so true, that we can give this world such a wrong perspective about who God is. There's so many people who are hurting right now, who have been diagnosed with something, who are they are thinking, God's mad at me. This is his gotcha. He's getting me. I want to talk about that because I know that that's a real that's real in so many people's lives, and they feel abandoned by God and being punished by God. Would you just unpack that, and let's get that truth out there a little bit today, because there are people who are listening today who I know feel that right now, and that's a lie from the pits of hell, and let's talk about that, Carmen.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It's the most common question I get is, you know, why me? What did I do? Is God punishing me because of this sin or that sin or something I did 20 years ago and you know, he's never forgiven me? Well, understand, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has forgiven you for all of your sins, past, present, future.
Mm-hmm.
Your trial, if you have a cancer diagnosis, if you have a terminal illness diagnosis, if you're just going through a trial where your illness has put you in a place or your finances or whatever, God is not punishing you. He has paid for all of that on the cross. Again, we live in a fallen world, Kim. This world is cursed, has been since the fall of Adam and Eve. That's why we long for Christ's return, because then he'll make all things right. But until then, we are in a fallen world. There will be illness. There will be hatred. There will be, you know, disasters. There will be all sorts of trials in our lives. And so what we have to do is hang on to the Lord in those trials. I always think about, you know, the storm on the sea and Peter seeing Christ walking on water, and he gets out of the boat in faith. I'm going to step out into the storm. And he's walking on water towards Jesus. And Kim, as long as he was focused on Christ, he was walking on water. That was a miracle, right? But the moment he looked down and saw the storm around him, what happened? He panicked, and he began to sink. And so that's what happens to us. We take our eyes off of what God is doing in the storm, and that's when we begin to sink. One of the scriptures that I held on to was Isaiah 26:3, and it says, "You, speaking of God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in you." So it's that message to me, Carmen, is Carmen, keep your focus on Jesus. He is guiding you. He's got his hand out. He's wanting to take that hand and guide you through this storm. But the moment you take your eyes off him and start focusing on your circumstances, start focusing on yourself, then you will begin to sink. Now, we know he is a gracious and merciful God, because what did he do for Peter? Peter starts sinking, and Christ pulls him up immediately. He pulls him up because he loves us so much. But I would just pray that those who feel that they're being punished, no, it's a fallen world. And the Lord cries with you. He grieves with you to see you in your pain. But he's saying, trust me, hang on to me. I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to take you to the other side. I'm not going to let you drown.
Gosh, what hope. What hope. I have a question, though. If I'm sitting out there and I'm driving in my car, I'm sitting at work and I'm listening to this, you know what my question would be, Carmen? My question would be, okay, I hear you, and I want to do it, but how? How do I stay my mind on God? What do I do? How do you do that? So let's talk about that, because, you know, there's some practical things that you had to do to be able to keep your mind. What do I do to keep my mind on him? Because in reality, when you think about it, you were battling the cancer, and you were also battling to keep your mind on God, right? Weren't you also battling thoughts?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that? So let's talk about that mind battle. for those who are battling. Mm-hmm. I know I have friends right now who are sitting with their husbands in the hospital, with their children in the hospital. I have friends who have lost children. I have friends who are battling addictions and depression. You know, so all these things, you know, in this world, mm-hmm. the trials and tribulations come in all different sizes. So as I'm battling that, how do I battle to keep my mind on Christ? In Isaiah 26:3, how do I keep my mind stayed on him? What's some practical ways we can share with our listeners today?
Yes. One of the things that I made a practice of doing, Kim, was first of all, to shut out those negative things. I didn't watch the news. I didn't watch the news for all those times I was battling because, you know, we know. We turn the news on and it's all the bad stuff in the world. So instead, I listened to Christian music, my favorite contemporary songs, my favorite hymns. I listened to sermons on tape. But most of all, Kim, it was keeping God's word right there with me. And, you know, you don't have to be... You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to be a regular student of God's word. But there is so much hope and all truth found in the word, even if you just read Psalms. Even if you just read Psalms. There is such hope. And, Kim, I know you know this. The more we are in God's word, we can't help but fall in love with Jesus. And we can't help but be filled with truth. But there are some things that I've learned that I would like to share with your listeners. It's so easy to get caught up in our emotions, in our feelings, right? When we are going through a trial. So here are some things that I have learned. One, God numbers our days. A doctor's prognosis, Kim, is only as good as medical science can determine. God has the last word. And I get that from his scripture. He numbers our days. Number two, Christ always intercedes for us. You know, he is our intercessor now. When he rose again, he is alive. And he is interceding for us. So he is for protection.
What that means for someone who doesn't know what intercede means. Because I'm feeling people leaning in right now going, wait a minute, that sounds good. Tell me exactly what he's doing for me. Because that says to me Christ is fighting. He's helping me fight this battle. So I'm leaning in here. So
that's right.
Explain that just a little bit.
Absolutely. Okay. So think of it this way. God the Father is on the throne. Jesus Christ is right there. And what is he doing when he hears our prayers? Christ is stepping in and going, Father, this is one of mine. This is one of mine that you gave me. And her prayer is that she needs help today, Father. We need to give her our strength, our power. We need to put our guardian angels around this person right now. And Kim, he does. If you remember when Peter was going to betray him, right? And he said, Peter, I have prayed for you because the devil wants to sift you out like wheat. And I have prayed for you. And he says, when you return to me, you know, you're going to go and tell others. Well, and so Christ is up there. When we pray, God is saying, yes, Lord, this is one of mine. Listen to them. This is one of mine.
Wow.
So Christ is interceding. It's protection in our trials. It's to give us strength through our suffering, through our sorrow. But it's when we draw close, Kim. It's when we pray. We can't just, we've got to acknowledge him and go to him because we need him. A third thing that I learned. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Great.
A
go
third
ahead.
Thing
I've got my
I learned. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. The third thing is staying focused on his promises. There are promises throughout the word, especially in the Psalms. There's just so many. His promises give us peace, Kim, that we can't explain. There's that peace that we feel. We know that you know, it may seem out of control, but it's not. God has got it under control, believe me.
Absolutely.
He has got his hand all around our circumstances. And mm-hmm. so even on those most difficult days, we can stay focused on his promises because they are true. I mentioned listening to Christian music. I found that worshiping and praising God in the midst of the suffering will diminish those negative emotions and replace them, and get this, Kim, with joy. So just imagine you're feeling fearful, doubtful, hopeless. You turn on some, you know, Christian song, or maybe it's a scripture you read and it led you to prayer. And all of a sudden, you are just praising God for his goodness. You're looking back at all he's done and how faithful he's been. And you go, whoa, why am I concerned? This God is huge. He's bigger than all of these trials. And he truly replaces those feelings with feelings of joy. It's amazing.
You know, Carmen, right there. You know what? You know the picture that you just gave to me? It's like, you know, when you're talking about the battle, the picture you just gave to me with worship and praise is like the 1-2 punch. It's like the 1-2 punch for the knockout, right? You know, it's just
absolutely.
The worship and the praise to really bring back that joy of what you're saying and staying focused on his response. Hey, Carmen, we're going to take a little bit of a break now and come back. This is so incredibly good. And I want the people to also know this is for trials and tribulations. This is also for your needs. You know, we have a lot of people, I think about that scripture where God says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in heaven. This is for all the trials. It doesn't have to be, you know, in an illness or a diagnosis. It can also be in your earthly needs. It can be in an addiction that you're working through. It can be through a marriage that you're trying to put back together. Am I right, Carmen? It's like whatever
absolutely.
Is our need. Whatever. Yeah. And I love that picture of knowing that when I pray that Jesus Christ himself, you know, nudges his Father and says, this is one of ours. This is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, that picture. So I'm going to let that picture just sit in everyone's mind as we go to a 30-second commercial. And then we're going to come back. And listeners, friends, didn't I tell you this was going to be just an incredible program? Oh, my gosh, Carmen has been someone who I have followed for many years, and, boy, she's never disappointed because she always leads me right to the foot of the cross, right to Jesus, and that's where her love, and you can hear it, and her excitement is. So there's another 30 minutes to listen to, so sharpen up those pencils, and let's meet back here in 30 seconds. See you then.
Hey, everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kim. My name is Kim Crable, and I'm so delighted to have you join us today. I'd like to invite you, if you have a question or if you have a comment for Carmen, our incredible guest today and my first and foremost and will always be mentor, the number is 347-324-5246. So let me repeat that one more time, 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you'll be invited into our virtual green room, and we'll be alerted that you're on air, and you can come. Please ask a question or any comment. I just am so delighted to have you here. Carmen, gosh, you were just going through these incredible principles of how to really put our mind on Christ, some truths, some basic truths and principles that we all need to hear, especially when we get that diagnosis or we're fighting that addiction or Christmas comes and all the loss from the past. You know, isn't it true? Christmas kind of makes you look at your life and go, oh, I wish I'd done that, or I wish a lot of regret and guilt and a lot of things kind of, and all of those are just things that the enemy would love to throw on us. So these things that you're giving to us are ways to fight that battle. And like I said right before we ended, kind of give him that 1-2 punch of worship and praise. So we have three. I have a feeling you have more to tell us. So let's move right along.
Yes, yes. Well, another thing that I've learned is that God's strength is magnified in our weakness. And Kim, what that means, and this truly applies to any situation, whether it's financial loss or relationship loss or illness or death of a loved one, you know, God will bring us to the end of our self-sufficiency. You know, we try to do everything in our flesh because our flesh so wants to get in on the work, right? And God is saying, but I want to do it all through you. I want to do it all. And so when we are in, well, I don't know, maybe it's because Carmen Pate is a stubborn woman. Sometimes God has to allow difficult circumstances for me to get my attention. I know that sometimes I recognize that when I am the weakest, and for me, I guess in most, you know, recent years, it has been a physical thing. There were days, Kim, when I was not strong enough to get out of bed. And yet the Lord laid such a desire on my heart to go out and pray with other patients or to pray with a nurse that would come in. And I would go, but Lord, I just don't have the strength. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, you give me the strength. And you know, Kim, he would. It was a supernatural strength. I can't explain it except to know that I experienced it, where in those weakest moments, he gave me enough strength, enough passion, and the opportunity to love someone else. And what it did is it took the focus off of my own pain. It took the focus off of my own weakness and gave others a glimpse of the power of God. Because even some of the doctors and nurses were amazed that I would do those things. And I would say, oh, it's the Lord, it's not me, it's not me. Sometimes I just wanted to curl up in a fetal position and just put the head over cover over my head, Kim. But I knew that my God was strong. And at that time, he was being strong in me. And so that way, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. And so that's a beautiful thing. I also learned, Kim, that when we do serve God in our weakness or in our suffering, or maybe it's not even serve. Maybe serve puts too much performance on it. But that attitude of I still trust him. You know, no matter what he takes me through, I still trust God. It's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know he's able to save us, right? But even if he doesn't, I will not bow down to another God. I am bowing to my King. And so I think it's that attitude of, Lord, you are all I need. You are all I want. And you are all I want others to see in me.
That is so valuable right there, what you just said. I have, in counseling many, many people throughout the years, I have used this so many times because I remember my mother, she was, you know, living her last days. I remember her saying, I know that God can save me. I know that he can heal me. I know that he can do this. But even if he doesn't, I will still love him. I will still. And, you know, I think when you can cross over to that point, gosh, it really does it really is a shift in trust. And I believe that, I don't know, for some reason when you said that, I was just compelled to stop and talk to it. And we know at the end of the story, God did even greater. Not only did he save them, but he stripped away the things that were trying to bind them, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier. God doesn't do things to us. He does things for us in the midst of our circumstances. But I don't know, Carmen, for some reason, I feel like someone needs maybe for you to talk to them a little bit about that right now. Maybe someone is in a situation and they just feel like, but I know God can. What if he doesn't? Would you just speak to that person? What if he doesn't?
Yes.
I know he can.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I've certainly had to come to grips with that. And I think part of it, first of all, Kim, is who do we say Jesus is? Have we come to that point in our life where we recognize that he is who he said he was, right? He is God.
Yes.
And that he came as a sacrifice so that we might live eternally with him. And by trusting in his finished work on the cross, by believing that, yes, he came, he lived a perfect life, he died, but he rose again. It was witnessed by hundreds. And he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. He's coming back to take us home to live with him forever. When we grasp those truths, then we recognize our identity. We are his. We are God the Father's child. We are a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. We are an heir with him. We will reign with him someday. And so when we put that all in perspective, not only for ourselves, but for others who are suffering, if God doesn't answer our prayers for the here and now, if we grasp that he has answered our prayers, he may take us on home because he doesn't want us to suffer anymore. He realizes we have gone through so much suffering and pain, and he says, you know what, I'm taking them on home with me. Because if we can grasp that that is better, that takes some of that fear. That is a promotion. Yeah. That is going home. That is going to our reward. That is going to our eternal assignment of reigning with him. When we can put it in that perspective, then, you know, it's like, okay, I always tell people and my family, I tell my children and grandchildren, you know, it's a win-win for me. If God takes me home, I'm with my Savior. If he leaves me here, then that just means I have more opportunity to love on you. he doesn't always answer. He doesn't always give us what we think we need or want here, Kim, but he gives us what we do need. He gives us what we do need always. It's just his mind, you know, his ways are bigger than our ways. His mind is infinite, so we can't always understand, but we can be assured that it is always good, Kim, always good and always done in love.
Absolutely, and I just appreciate you taking the time to really explain that, because that was one of the things that after Mother died, you know, people would say, but God didn't answer your prayers. It was almost as if, you know, that when you understand that Mother and our loved ones, and for those who are listening that I know have had teens that have died in car accidents, I know that we have so many hurting people, to understand that, yes, it is our loss, and we grieve.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, how we grieve. But we don't mourn as the unbelievers mourn. We mourn in the hope that we will see them again because of the blood of Jesus, because of his life and coming. We just need to always make sure that we're ready to meet them, right, that we've accepted him, and that we have secured our eternal place. life in heaven by accepting Christ into our life, because ultimately we're all going to make that transition to home. We just need to make sure that that reservation is sealed, that we've accepted Christ. Carmen, there are several people that are online. I've been told by my producer to be sure and press one if you want to come in and speak to Carmen. Press one and we know. Well, Carmen, thank you so much for sharing that, because I believe that it's like that shift. You know, we're always battling the worldly thinking, and we have to get that heavenly mm-hmm. perspective of what is real and what is the greatest. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for explaining that. And I'm sure, do you have other points that you'd like to share with us?
Well, one of the things that I think is as I think about the listeners, and we've been talking about the trials that they might be going through, I think about how the enemy works so hard to lie to us, Kim. I mean, he's mm-hmm. working overtime to just lie to our spirit and to cause us to fear, cause us to doubt, cause us to be depressed. And years ago, I was so blessed, and I'm talking maybe 30 years ago, by Robert McGee's book, Search for Significance. And over the years, I've used some of the principles there to encourage others and to encourage myself, Kim, to remind mm-hmm. me of God's truth. So very quickly, the lies we most often believe, one is that I must meet certain standards in order to feel good about myself, in order to please God. And God's answer to that is you are loved unconditionally. You don't have to meet a standard to receive God's love. The second one is I must have the approval of other people, of certain mm-hmm. other people, in order to be pleasing. And the truth is that we have God's approval. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God says, he looks at us through Jesus. So he sees us as righteous. So we are approved as his children. So we don't have to listen mm-hmm. to that lie of the enemy. We don't need the approval of others. We just need God's approval through Jesus Christ. And then there's that lie, those who fail are unworthy of love. And that's including me. Mm-hmm. Those who fail are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished. And, Kim, when we believe that lie, we are just waiting for people to stomp on us. But that's where God's truth that I've paid for all your failure. It's finished. It's done. You are no longer condemned. And that is so important for us to understand that, Kim. And then the last one is, I am what I am. I cannot change. I am hopeless. Oh, what a lie from the enemy. Because what does God say? He says we are new creations in Jesus Christ. And, Kim, we know his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely are new in him and can be all that he designed us to be.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. And that number three, Carmen, those who fail are unworthy of love. That's right there. That's the trap that makes us feel like that what we're going through we're deserving of, or we're being condemned because, that's where we fall into that trap, and that's where so many people right now who are saying, well, if I had not done this or had that, we are magnets to guilt, aren't we? I was telling someone last week in a group, I can remember a couple years ago looking, I was walking in the streets of New York, and I looked up, and I saw just at the next corner a lady who was about to step off and fall into the road. Sure enough, she fell, and you know the first thing I thought? Why didn't I stop that? Why couldn't I? I was taking on guilt for something that I could not control. And, you know, that's the way we are, aren't we? I mean,
we
take on that guilt, and we feel like that God has condemned us with that guilt. And so many people right now are thinking that they are suffering through something, because of their unworthiness, because God has is not forgiven them. And I think that's one of the greatest, that's my heart, and I got that from listening to you. I want everyone to be stripped of these lies and to be stripped of this shame and guilt and regret, and to see that whatever our past has held, whatever, however we have failed, however we have been abused, or no matter what it's held in our past, that truly God extends out his hand and he says, bring it to me. Come to me, who are weary and heavy burden. He goes, and I will transform that. I will give you rest. Rest means, transformed in Greek. And you think, that is the God that we serve, that he wants us to bring that person that we're sitting beside of in the hospital, that addiction that we're holding against ourselves, that sin, that secret sin. We're holding so many secrets that we think that people are going to walk out on us. And that is the hope, Carmen, that you extended to me that day when you, in all your look of glory, when you said, we had all put you on this incredible pedestal because of your appearance and all that you had accomplished, and you would not allow us to do that. You immediately said, but this is me. These are mistakes I've made. This is how I failed, God. And how our world needs to hear that God is not a God of perfect and polished.
No.
He's a God who he loves me. And for our listeners, I want you to understand God loves you where you are, as you are, no matter what has happened or what will happen. This is the God that we serve, the one who has unconditional love, who would never condemn but comes to comfort. And that's the God that's the Jesus that you modeled to me, Carmen. And for the rest of my life, I want to be like that Samaritan woman who runs out and says, come see a man who knows everything about me and still loves me anyway. Our world is dying to hear that message of the risen Savior who just loves us and extends hope every moment. And I may fall flat on my face in 2 hours, but even that's already forgiven. I will try my best not to, but we're going to, right, Carmen? We're not perfect.
Well,
this is
a standard. Amen. You know, that's right. I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9 that says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us. Forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I have to pray that prayer every day, and I have to remind myself every day and confess, because I fail him every day, Kim, every day. But, you know, Kim, my life verse, it's going back to how we have all failed. You know, my past includes abortion. My past includes divorce. I could go on and on. It's not a past I am proud of. It's a past I'm so ashamed that I grieve my Lord with my past. But, you know, Kim, my life verse is 1 Timothy 1:15-16. And it says, and I hope this will bring encouragement to your listeners. It says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But because of this, he showed, because of my being the worst of sinners, and he is using me to show his patience, his mercy, so that others who might believe in him could have eternal life. So it's my story that is so broken, and God was so merciful to me. I feel he's using me as an example. Look, she's the worst. but I forgave her, and I can forgive anyone, and he does. There is no hopeless cause.
Right, and I just believe right now that you've touched so many hearts, Carmen. And would you take just a minute for those who are thinking, I need the same Jesus that Carmen told about. I need this hope that Kim has found in Christ. Would you just maybe lead them through a prayer of that cleansing, beautiful prayer that makes us new creatures right now? I just want to extend this. As you know, God came, Jesus came. We're getting ready to celebrate his birth, and he came to give us all these opportunities to live not only life but the abundant life, and to have His joy deep in our hearts no matter what the circumstances. I believe, yes, Carmen, that there are many who are ready right now to pray that prayer. Would you please be so kind just to pray with those? And I'll just ask you, if you're in your car, if you're sitting beside that hospital bed, no matter where you are, or when you listen to this podcast even later, that it makes no time restriction. God is with you right now. Carmen, would you please lead that?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are in awe of Your love for us. We are in awe that we can come to You broken. And You are the master potter. You will take the broken pieces and put us back together, more beautiful than we were before. And Father, I just pray for those who right now are suffering. Perhaps they do know You. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yet they're going through a very difficult trial, and they have doubts, and they have fears, and they have questions. Father, surround them with Your peace that passes understanding, Your comfort that only You can give, Your hope that in Jesus Christ, their eternity is with You. It is secure. And Father, that if they do not receive healing this side of earth, they will receive healing, and it will be for eternity. And Father, if You choose to give them many more years, free of disease or free of some of these other struggles they're going through, we know that trials will continue to come. And yet You will use each one to grow them in maturity and in love for You. So, Father, that is our prayer for those who are suffering who know You. But, Father, we also know there are those listening who have not yet realized just how much You love them. They have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. And, Father, in this moment, if there are those listening who are saying, well, this is something that I've never heard before. I didn't know that He would take me as I am, that He will do the cleaning in my life. I don't have to clean up and then come to Jesus. No, no. Lord, let them know they can come broken just as they are. And, Father, all they need to do is to believe. Believe in who Christ is, Your Son, God the Son. And, Father, that He came and lived a perfect life, born of a Virgin Mary, whom we'll be celebrating this season. And He lived that perfect life. But, Father, in obedience to You and in His own willingness, He said, I will go to the cross and I will die as their substitute, Father, to pay the penalty for their sin. That's the penalty for my sin, for Your sin. And, Father, that I will die and the work will be finished, so that they will be accepted by You as they trust in You, as they trust in who I am because You sent me as Your Son. And, Father, as they believe in who He is and that He has risen again and that He is with You and as He is our intercessor and as He will be coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rescue us from this world, I pray that right now they will believe, Lord, and that they will rejoice in the forgiveness that they have received in Christ right this moment, Father. And by believing, may they know that the Holy Spirit will enter them, will seal their salvation so that they will always be Yours, Father, and that You will give them the strength to live the life they need to live on this earth. We give You praise, Father, for what You are doing and for what You're going to do in their life as they yield to You, as they lean on You and not on their own strength. We give You praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carmen. And if you, as a listener, if you've made this decision for Christ, we'd love to get some information to you. If you just contact me at kim@rosesandrainbows.org, we'll get a Bible out to you or whatever it is that we can do to help you find a church in your area. Just contact me, kim@rosesandrainbows.org. Well, Carmen, I can't believe it, but our hour is up. We have a couple minutes left, and I want to end first by thanking you, and then secondly by telling our listeners that you have a new book that we can all help you get published. Listeners, it's called In Our Weakness, God is Strong. That probably comes from the scripture of 2 Corinthians 12:19. But you can go to gsot.edu/CarmenPate, and let's all put in some pennies in there and dollars and help get this incredible book of inspiration, hope, and love published, because we need this book out in the hands of all people. So go to gsot.edu/CarmenPate, CarmenPate. And all this information is also on my Facebook page, facebook.com/RosesAndRainbows. Carmen, thank you for once again just being such an inspiration and for telling each and every one of us that we have hope and love and acceptance through Christ.
Well, Kim, it's just been such a blessing for me. It always is to spend time with you, and I am thrilled God is sending you around the country to bless women. I just love your heart for the Lord and your heart for those he loves, and my prayer will be that he will continue to grow your ministry, Kim. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And if anyone would like to reach you, Carmen, is there an address? Is there a way other than what I've just, is that the best way, what I've just given out, or is there a different way?
Well, certainly. I would love for anyone listening to be a Facebook friend. I always encourage people to email me with prayer requests, and so I am happy to share my email. It's pate.carmen@gmail.com. It's that simple, pate.carmen@gmail.com. And I would love to hear from you. I pray for people all around the world, and I just feel like if there's the greatest thing, Kim, we can do for others is pray for them. And so if I can do that for you, I would be honored.
Well, you are such an inspiration, and I just know how much you love the Lord, and you lead all of us through that love. And I just want to thank you again. I can't believe our time is up, but thank you, Carmen, so much for being with us. And listeners, this will go to podcast. You can pass it around. And I just, again, want to thank you for partnering with us and joining us each week, every Monday morning on Coffee with Kim. We'll see you right back here next week. Goodbye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.